I'm a real deal. I'll shoot your liver out and hand it to you.
I am lucky enough to be joined with Pia Filler today. Pia, how's it going?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me. And how are you?
I'm doing well. And I can see in the background, I see some matchroom signs. I see a bunch of, tables and chairs. Where are you at right now?
Right. I am currently at the practice room here in Milton Keynes because due to travel restrictions, we couldn't go back home to Germany in between tournaments. So matchroom made it possible for us to stay here in the hotel, still having two practice tables. And yeah, that's where I am.
So you've been living on the road. What would have happened if you'd have went back to Germany? You'd had to quarantine, I'm assuming?
Yes, 14 days.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's terrible. So we just decided to stay here. It's not too bad though.
There's must be a McDonald's close by.
Yeah, we actually have a room, which when we look out the window, it's McDonald's right there. So it's probably Joshua's dream room.
Yeah, I was gonna say, did you pay extra for that?
No, they probably knew that Joshua loved it. I don't know.
Yeah, they just knew, right? Yeah.
Right.
Well, we're here to talk about you today. We're not here to talk about that Josui. What was his name? Joshua.
I don't know. I forgot. I don't know.
And what sparked this was I saw a video. I saw a post on the Matchroom forum, and it was a question basically about you. And it's like, is Pia Filler ever going to start playing pool now that she's following Josh around to all these events? And I'm just like, facepalm, right?
I mean, I know.
It's, how, do you get that a decent amount or is that just a one-off?
Well, I think that most people just know me as Joshua's wife because I haven't won big tournaments yet. So that's all right. And if people think so, it's okay. So I've read that post too. I think I commented on there too and I saw you did. So I'm just working hard for myself as well. Joshua is my coach. So we're practicing a lot at home. And I'm just trying to create my own name, but for now it's all right. I mean, people always gonna talk, and I am his wife and it's not something bad, so it's all right.
Well, I think that's there's one thing that you said there that I think is really interesting. I think we're going to come back to it, and it's that Josh is your coach. I want to come back to that later on, but let's start with the beginning, because you were playing pool long before you and Joshua even met each other, right? I mean, you were playing on the juniors for a couple of years before, right?
Right, yeah. I think I started playing in 2006, 2007, and the first time I met Joshua was in 2009. I've been playing a little bit, but not as much as, for example, Joshua did. So I got to meet him at the German Championship in the youth division, and we both won our first title in there at the same time, actually, which was quite funny. And yeah, so we started spending time together because we both were on the national youth team going to European Championships and stuff. And yeah, but of course I played before I met him.
Yeah. So take us through, how did you get started in the game of pool?
I got started because my parents had a pool table at home in the middle of our living room. It was a pretty big room, like almost like two rooms, but made to one. So just having the sofa and the TV on one side and the pool table on the other side. And I saw my dad playing on there all the time. And one day they just left the house and I started to play secretly because I didn't want anybody to see me. But my brother catched me doing it and he told my parents, and then they watched me and they just decided, like, they asked me if I want to play competitions, if I want to go to a club, and I said, yeah, why not? So yeah, that's how I got started.
Wow. And so by that, by the time that your brother and your dad got you, you were already giving them like the 7 out, right?
Probably.
are your family, are any of them any good players or?
Actually, my whole family, which means my brother, my sister, my mom, and my dad were playing, but not like really good. So I am the best out of the family. And my dad has like a small pub with 2 pool tables in there. And yeah, that's actually also the first club where I started playing, because it was in a small village where I grew up. And yeah, that's it.
Gotcha. So your dad owns that pub, you said?
Right.
Gotcha. And is that, with 2 tables, I can't imagine it's like a big pool playing, but it's more of a bar that just has some pool tables, or is it actually a club?
Right. No, it's a small bar. There actually is like a club in there playing leagues, but only on 2 tables. So I think the club only has like 10 members or something, so nothing pretty big, but it was fun to play there. And for me, of course, when I was a kid, like having 2 pool tables in there was always like pretty big. So yeah.
And what age do you think you were roughly when you picked up the cue for the first time?
What does it mean?
How old were you?
Oh, so 2006, now it's 2021, it's 15 years now. Yeah, like when I was 7, 8.
And were you hooked immediately? Or did you just think, hey, this is kind of fun, let's try this for a little while?
I don't remember. I just remembered that I secretly started playing and my brother saw me. He reported to my parents, and then I just got in the club and I started playing youth competitions, and I really liked it, because even on German Championship or European Championship, there are so many young people. We had a lot of fun, like traveling around Europe and stuff and just playing all day long. Then when the day's finished, we ordered pizza or something. I don't know. I just thought it was pretty cool. And I don't know if it was love, like when I first hit the ball, but I don't know. I'm still with it. I'm still with it. So I think it kind of was.
Yeah. So take us through, you're, you know, 7, 8 years old. Take us through when you first started actually competing in tournaments, and when do you remember your first ever win?
Well, it's actually kind of funny story. When I played my first youth tournament, it was in 2006. Or 7, I'm not exactly sure. And it was my first ever tournament, and I finished 3rd place. And they told me that they're going to play the finals. It was on a Saturday, and they told me they're going to play the finals on a Sunday. And I was there with my mom, and they said I have to come back on the Sunday to get my trophy. And I was like, no, I don't want to come back tomorrow. I want my trophy now. and they were like, no, Pierre, it's not possible. And I was like, I want my trophy now. Because I was so, yeah, I was just crazy about getting my first cup, right? So I ended up crying, and they gave me the trophy, and I took it home, and I was so proud, and my mom was so proud, and yeah, it was funny. So,
and all the people there were like, I hate her, never let her back.
Yeah, I don't know what they thought about me, really. I never really cared, because I was this kind of kid, when I wanted something, I couldn't stop until I get it. So yeah, but I just was so happy when I got it, and yeah, I still have it.
So I had Allison Fisher on the podcast last week, and she said the first pool tournament she ever played in, she actually got 3rd place in too. So I'm just saying, we might have the second career of Allison Fisher coming.
Yeah, for me, for sure, it's kind of different, because I know about Allison that when she was young, she started traveling around with her parents too. I think I read that in a book or something. Yep. I'm not sure.
Thanks,
Sandra. Right. And she started winning a lot. Then first time going to the USA and stuff. For me, when I started, I had some successful years in the youth, but I somehow just kind of stopped and didn't develop anymore. So I don't know, some people said when I was young, I really had a lot of talent for putting the balls, but I just never made something out of it because I was so lazy. I didn't know what practices. I had no clue about discipline. And of course, my parents were not like trying to really get me there because I went to school and they just told me, enjoy your life, do whatever you want. So I'm pretty sure I lost a few years, which where I could have like improved a lot more in previous years. And somehow it came with, so when I met Joshua, right, when our relationship started, for him, it was clear for him that when he first picked up the cue that he wanted to be a professional. So I just finished school like in 2016 and Joshua and me started a relationship. And then he finished school 1 year later and I was like, what you want to do after school now? And he was like, I don't know what you want to do. And I was like, I don't know either. And he said, I actually want to be a professional, but I don't want to be on the road all the time alone without my girlfriend, without family. So he just asked me, like, if he do it, if I do it too. So if I will come with him, support him, whatever. And of course, I said yes, because if I would have said no, he would probably never get professional because he didn't want to do it alone. So, and I knew because a couple of years ago, everybody like knew that he's one of the greatest talents, that he's going to be really, really good. And I didn't want to be the bad person saying no. And like him having not this career he got right now. So, so I've been traveling with him to all the tournaments. And of course, that means for me that I don't have a lot of time to practice. But I got to watch him a lot and support him. So it's kind of my job. I took over like all the managing stuff for him. And then when the pandemic hit it last year, we were at Roy's basement. And even me, I started to play a lot of money games and I started to practicing with Joshua in the evenings. And then we came back home and I was like, because I felt like I won a lot of matches in the USA. So I felt like, all right, I know that I can be better than I am right now. So I don't know. I just wanted it. And then I told him and I asked him, please be my coach, make me better, because he actually knows everything, what it takes to be one of the greatest. And then he said, all right, we can do that. But he told me from the beginning that it's going to be very, very hard. And he's a very, very strict teacher and very straight. So he's not like, when I'm doing bad stuff, he's not like telling me I'm still doing good because I'm his wife. He's very strict and straight. And it doesn't matter if there's a tear in my eye or not. He's going to tell me right away what to do, which way to do. And I honestly love it because for me, it's the only way to really understand here what it takes and what I have to do. Mm-hmm. So yeah, since 1 year, I'm practicing really, really hard. And no, of course, now I got different goals because he sees me getting better. I see it and feel it myself. So I don't know where it's going to take me, but I won't stop. I will never give up and I try my best to get to the top, of course.
Mm-hmm. So you had discussed in there the pandemic and Roy's basement. And that, I think that's a good place to go to next because I think that was a lot of at least the US's introduction to you. Like you said, everybody kind of knew you as Joshua's wife and they didn't really realize maybe that you played pool. Maybe their introduction to you before that was the Moscone Cup, where, you know, of course they pan on you all the time and you're always supportive. And I think in the pool world, when you said, what was it? 2018? I think it was 2018 mm-hmm. when it was in the US. And, yeah. What are you thankful for? And your response was,
I said, I am thankful for SVB because he made silly mistakes and
the entire crowd just like erupts in laughter. It was so funny.
Yeah. I mean, no disrespect to Shane. Don't get me wrong. He's one of the greatest of all time. And that's the same with Joshua saying that he's the king. And some people getting mad on him, but he just said, even before he said that he's the king now, he said in the arena that there is no space for respect in the arena if you want to be on top, if you want to win every game. He said it's no disrespect to Shane. He really respects Shane as a player. But in the arena, you have to like focus on your own and anything else doesn't matter. So that was actually the way it was meant to be, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, just wanted to make clear, never any disrespect to anyone. I'm just a straight person. And of course, on that Moscone Cup, Joshua smashed him like 5-0, 5-1. And yeah, I said I was thankful for SVB. That's true.
I think American fans especially, we take things very personally, especially at the Moscone Cup, because the Moscone Cup, it's just an exhibition, right? It's a very serious exhibition and it's designed to have a little bit of fun. You know, once you get onto the table, it's supposed to be serious, but you know, in between you're supposed to have a little fun with it, you know, prod around, you know, joke around with people.
The Moscone Cup is something special, and I really love to see that American fans are rooting for their own countrymen so hard, because we made kind of different experience with it sometimes. So I think it's really something good. And of course, it's like a fight between USA and Europe. And I think it's supposed to be some smash talk and everybody's absolutely like buzzing and pumped up. So I don't see it in a bad way. We're just having fun. That's it.
No, I think what you said was hilarious. I mean, as an American, I thought it was hilarious. I mean, what can you say? I mean, 10-1 at that time and 2 points. I mean, that's what can you say? All right. But I think that was a lot of people's introduction to you. And of course that's not you hitting balls. So I think Roy's basement was really, and I think really you versus April Larson was like the first time that everyone's like, holy crap, she can really play. So yeah, what was it like playing against April? And then this follow-up question would be, do you agree that that was kind of everybody's introduction to you? And how did you receive that?
Well, when we set up the match with April, I noticed like on Facebook that they made they made April the heavy favorite. And I knew what I am capable of, and I knew how April is playing because of I obviously watched matches of her playing in the Atlantic Challenge Cup. So I knew that I can beat her, but probably no American knew because they never see me play. They most likely see me supporting Joshua in tournaments. So it ended up like a really, really great match. I think we both played really good. I missed to beat the ghost in a race.
I was going to say by one game, right?
Yeah, by one game.
Yeah. 50-51.
Right. Yeah. It was crazy. For me, it was really, really good because I haven't played the ghost before at home. Like I never really did it. So that's where Joshua started to teaching me, and playing the ghost is a pretty good practice game. Right. So I took it really serious because I love to compete, and I started loving feeling the pressure. And it definitely was pressure against her because of course I wanted to show like I'm not just Joshua's wife. I can shoot. And I know what I'm talking about. So, it was just a really, really good match. And after the match, April and me had an interview with you too, right? So, I mean, I respect her game. And I got a lot of respect from the people in the US after that. So, but for me, I just try to not focus on what people think about me or what they judge me or, you know, because, I mean, I'm just working for myself and I need to be happy. So it never matters really what outside people think, as long as it is not Joshua. Of course, that matters to me.
Of course. Yeah. So take us through while you were at Roy's basement. And did you think it was a good experience, a bad experience? Are you glad it's over? Do you wish it could happen again? What did you think of that entire, I guess you were there for nearly 6 weeks about? Does that sound right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we were there for like 6-7 weeks and it was some of the best time in our pool lives. We had so much fun. So first of all, I really would like to thank Roy and
Isn't
his whole
awesome?
Family.
Roy is such a good dude.
Yeah, I mean, him and Grace and Coach Alex, they're amazing. Just the, like, we felt like being home. We came there, they didn't even knew us. And I don't know, there was never a moment when we really was like, oh my God, we're feeling so uncomfortable being here. We want to go home or something. They really felt like family. They treated us so nice. They gave a whole room to us for staying there, enjoying life, playing pool. It was really, I never met so nice people as they are. And being there, Roy made a lot of matchups for us every day. I remember I've been laying in the bed 9 a.m. in the morning, and he called me and said, Pia, get up. You're going to play the guy who is like fixing my garden outside. You're going to play my ball. Like, yeah. And I was like, oh my God, what's going on? So just everybody was playing there, and I had small matches like every day. And that's actually when I felt like, all right, I want to get better, because I've been winning matches. And then I felt like, okay, I want to improve. So, yeah, I mean, we've been playing day and night. It was such a good experience and really some of the best time of our lives.
Yep. And I heard this, I want to say it was on like a Matchroom interview or somebody was saying it somewhere. And it didn't sound right to me. But they said that you had played so much pool that you had realized that you weren't going to be able to get any better by just gambling. And so you wanted to go home and have proper practice. Is that true?
What do you mean? I don't really get the question.
So when you were at Roy's basement you were doing the gambling, you decided that wasn't going to be how you got better. You needed to practice more European style, where you do drills, you kind of just practice and put the hours in.
Oh no, that's definitely not right, because
it didn't sound right to me.
No, playing money games, you have a lot of pressure because you never want to lose your money, right? Mm-hmm. So it just taught me how to compete under pressure, finding a way how to handle pressure, because I honestly were never really good in it before. So at the beginning in the basement, I didn't like feeling the pressure, because I started missing easy balls, because my brain just wasn't right, you know? I mean, I think we all know it. And after a couple of weeks, it started feeling so normal because I did it every day. And I just got used to it. And now I'm kind of sad if I don't feel the pressure. I mean, like, now I want the pressure. So, it was great practice. And it was the beginning of, like, getting me to another level. Mm-hmm. So it definitely helped. Of course, when we came home, we did totally different kind of practice. But it's like a mixture from both of it. And both is pretty good.
Yep, you got to get a little of each. So,
right.
You kind of got the taste for it. Like you said, you wanted the pressure put on, but then it's COVID 2021 and there's really nothing going on anywhere. I mean, you played in some virtual events, including mine, and you were a playoff. You were a quarter finalist. What did you think about what did you think about the virtual events? And do you think that they belong in the game going forward? Or do you think they're just kind of, COVID, it's better than nothing. What do you think about the virtual events?
Honestly, I played it because I wanted to feel pressure again, and I wanted to compete again to see where I am right now after doing all the practice the last year. So even Joshua told me that I should participate because it's good practice for me and I can really learn from it. So I think it's quite good events. I really like it. And for me, it makes a lot of sense to play in there, because your goal is to like always run out perfectly, being perfect in position. So to me, that's something, because I'm not on the level where I'm always in perfect position. So I still have to practice it. And that's really good for me to do so. Of course, for some other pros, for example, for Joshua, it's maybe kind of being a boring system, because he knows how to run out perfectly every rec. But I just didn't. So for me, it's great practice. And I really love your events. So it was so much fun. I did really good in the last one. I was happy. Of course, I was so disappointed losing Hill to Tyler. but it was my own mistake. I really made two so stupid mistakes, which shouldn't be, but I learned a lot from it.
Yep. I will tell you this, and don't tell anybody I said this because nobody's going to listen to this except for you and me. Tyler was expecting to lose that match. He told me that going into it. He's like, with the way that she breaks nine ball, I don't know if I can beat her. He expected to lose that almost. You know, if Tyler is one of the fiercest competitors that there is too. So, but you know, there's some respect. If you're wondering whether or not the rest of the players respect Pia, Tyler Steyer thought he was going to lose to her in that event. So, and it took everything that he had to beat you.
Yeah, it really did. And honestly, like when we went in the last set, when we went to sudden death, I was 100% sure that I'm going to win because I never felt like I'm going to miss a ball right now. I felt really comfortable and I thought like he's breaking 10 ball. And I know he got one of the best 10 ball breaks out there. But I was like, at some point, I don't know, the cue ball will get kicked into the side pocket or I don't know, maybe he will have a little cluster. I really believed in it. And I felt so sure. And then I just made, I think it was kind of, lack of concentration in the last rig where I came short on the position to the two ball. And I just, I don't know what was going through my mind there. I just made a bad mistake. And I mean, it still was a good match. And at the end of the day, it matters most what I take from it and what I learned from it. And I definitely learned a lot. And I just showed myself that I can compete under pressure because playing Tyler in such a high level match, going to sudden death, you know, you just know on every ball, do or die. So I felt pretty good after it, to be honest.
And I think you went three sudden deaths, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I think I ran four, so but I'm
four.
I'm not sure.
That's
three or four.
that's tough. I've played in the virtual events too, and that's a different kind of pressure. It's like nothing that you've ever experienced before. It's like if you dog a ball or if you break the ball's bad or if you break and scratch and get kicked, you know, get the cue ball kicked in, you know, you're just like, oh, I just want to get right back to the table, but you can't. You got to sit there and dwell on it for like a minute. It's awful. It's just terrible.
Yeah, it definitely is. So for me, it was just great practice. I really loved to play in it. It was really fun. And as I said before, I learned a lot. And of course, if I get the chance to play another one, I would love to. But of course, I want to play like a normal tournament again. I can't wait for it to see like where it took me right now after really practicing so hard for 1 year with Joshua now. So that just if I play a tournament, then we can like do analysis. What did I do better than 1 year ago? What wasn't that good? So then we can go back to practice again and work on it again. So that's like how to do it step by step.
Don't worry, I'm gonna yell at Emily. I got another interview with Emily in about an hour. We're gonna go live on Facebook and we're gonna do a live interview. I'll yell at her for you. How's that for not inviting you?
Well, I mean, of course I would love to play because I want to play a tournament, and of course I'm here anyways, but on the other side, I know that I have to deserve my spot by my own. And I don't just want it to be invited because I'm Joshua's wife. I really know that I didn't deserve it that much because I haven't won a tournament yet. So for me, it's just about time to wait and first prove that like prove on women tournaments that I really deserve a spot. So that's actually the way to do it. Of course, if I get the chance to play, I will play 100%, but I know I have to deserve my own.
So let's move on. Of course, you're in Milton Keynes, you said right now. You are there for the World Nine Ball Championships. But what is on the radar for you in the coming? Do you have anything that you're looking forward to? I'm sure you're looking forward to the Euro Tour that's coming up at the June, right? End of June? Or is it end of July?
Right. No, end of June. I was looking forward to this, but right now we have no clue if we can make it to the Euro Tour due to the travel restrictions. Because
this finishes June 9th. Is that right?
11th.
The 11th.
So,
yeah.
No, it finishes on the 10th and we are supposed to go home on the 11th and then traveling to Austria on the 16th. But actually, we can't go home because as soon as we hit the ground in Germany, we have to go into quarantine for 14 days. So we are currently trying to figure out if we can go straight from England to Austria. We might have to go into a 5-day quarantine in there, but it would be possible to still play in the tournament then. But yeah, I honestly have no clue if we can make it or not. So it's pretty hard for me because I couldn't wait to finally play a tournament again. And I was so looking forward to this woman event. But it is what it is. If not this time, I just wait for the next and still working hard.
Yeah. So who is one? I guess that's kind of the last questions as far as getting to where we're at right now. Looking out across the woman field of pool, who is one woman that you look up to more than anybody else, you think?
Well, tough one, because most likely I'm looking up to Joshua, of course. But one woman I really like everything of her game, is Shen Ziming. I think she's one of my favorites because
she's so gross. She's so good at this game. It's dumb.
She's been winning everything in the last 3 years. I watched her on every event. Like I seen her winning the World Games. I seen her winning the Emory Cup back to back. China Open because she won it at the same year as Joshua did. And I mean, I don't know. I love her game. She's really, really hard and tough worker. So I think she's a good role model to everybody. And then she performed like outstanding in her first US Open in 2019. And of course, I watched every match on there from her too.
Yeah, she won her first 3 matches, right?
Right. Yeah, she beat the Mitch Ellerman.
I remember watching that match with Mitch Ellerman. He comes in, he's so fired up. He's like ready to go. And then he gets to the table with his look at with the look at a ball for the first time in like rack number 6, and he's down 5-0, and he's just like and loses like 9-1 or something like that. Just has no chance.
Right, and I think it was a kind of turning point for women pool, in my opinion, because after that, women got invited to matchroom events, and they showed also on the Championship League pool. Which was in March, Kelly played unbelievable. I think she survived 2 or 3 days. She's beating a lot of the men. So she played absolutely great. Of course, we followed every match of that too. And I think women pool is really on a good way for the future. And I can't wait to see more. And of course, I can't wait to finally play my own events again. Mm-hmm.
So is there one woman in the industry, in the pool world, that you feel like you're chasing? Like and I'll try to clarify the question a little. So I think it's pretty common knowledge at this point that Joshua was chasing Shane, right? Because that's the comments of I'm the king now. He's comparing himself to who he thinks is the best player out there because he is in that category of the top three, maybe 4 or 5 players that are the best in the world. So he is chasing who he thought was the best player in the world. Is there anybody that you see in your career right now that you're kind of chasing, trying to get onto the same level or at least prove that you belong in that same category?
Well, I wouldn't say really chasing, but like my goals, like the first step of my goal is, of course, getting to the top in Europe because right now I think the top three is Jasmine, Christina, and Margaret. So I think...
No, Kelly?
Oh, of course, when I talk about the Euro Tour, like Kelly's not playing the Euro Tour.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got you. Yep.
So that's what I meant. Of course, Kelly, you can count on that too. So yeah, like first getting to the top of Europe. But I believe when you're in the top of Europe, you're still gonna have a hard time playing the Asian girls because they are a different level.
I've seen 13-year-old Chinese girls that are running out on those Chinese snooker tables and I'm just or those Chinese pool tables and I'm just like, Wow.
Right. So, and if you watch, of course, Jasmine, she's already a world champion. She is two-time runner-up in the world championship nine ball. So, of course, the European can compete with Shen Ziming, Han Yu, Liu Xiaoxiao, whoever. And, like, on my last world championship, I lost to Liu Xiaoxiao and, like, 6-7, and she was number three in the world right now. So, what I'm saying is, if you get to the top on Europe, you still have to increase your level a little bit to be on the top of the world. So, and of course, that's a long-term goal. But yeah, so I wouldn't really say chasing somebody, but I think if you want to be the best woman, you have to beat consistently the best Asian players.
I would say that's so now you with the women's field, now you know how we feel as Americans. When we get to the best as Americans, we're still like the 20th best European.
yeah, it's kind of true. I think, for example,
it actually is. I mean, if you remove Shane from the field, I mean, there's probably 20 Europeans that are at the same level as Sky, if or higher.
Europeans are really tough, and I do believe, like, if you go to a Euro Tour, it's not the best tournament money wise, but for practice, it's brilliant because there are so many people. Like, there are 50 people in the tournament who can probably win the tour, and playing the Euro Tours, I think it's one of the toughest tournaments in the world.
Well, yeah, Darren Appleton said that it's harder to win a Euro Tour than it is a World Championship.
Yeah, probably. Like, doing it consistently, probably, yes.
I mean, that's Darren Appleton. That's not coming from a nobody.
Right. Yeah. And so, I mean, he knows it. He's been winning everything what you can win in pool, and he needs to know.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess that really brings a close to the interview. I know that you're in Milton Keynes, so I'm sure you want to spend time with your coach. I just have a few last questions for you. And one of them, I want to return back to what you said earlier, because you said that Joshua was a coach to you. And I saved this for the end because I wanted this to be an interview about you, not about Josh, because we need to introduce you to the pool world. You're a pool player. You're a top women's player too. You need to get your respect as well. But I got to throw one question in there. Mm-hmm. Or a few questions in here about Josh. You said that he is your coach, but I don't think you're going to argue with the fact that I think you're kind of a mental coach for him as well when he's competing. Am I wrong in saying that?
No. No, I think you're absolutely right. Like, yeah, I just know how to treat him, that he feels good whenever he's playing. I'm taking care of everything. So he just concentrates on playing all the time. And yeah, you can call it a mental coach, but like, he got a strong mentality on his own already. But of course, in some situations, I just exactly know what to tell him to make him even stronger.
So and he credits you for this, right? In the interviews, he's saying how he's a little worked up sometimes and you'll come over in between matches on breaks and, you know, you'll settle him down and get his head back where it needs to be. Do you want to tell people what you say to him, or is that kind of a personal thing?
No,
or does it
actually
change in the moment? Maybe it changes in the moment.
Yeah, of course, it's not always the same. It depends on what kind of situation, what kind of match is going on, what happened in the match and stuff. So, but no, of course, I can't exactly say what we are talking about or what are like our secrets. So, yeah, of course, that's like our own thing and I will never gonna tell. That wouldn't be that smart. But yeah, most likely, even when he's playing, I got a clue what is going on during the match, right? So I'm just doing my observation about how the match is going, maybe what's going on the break, and sometimes just even tell like small things to adjust, which can help, because even if you're a top level player, you not always recognize what you're doing wrong, like on just little things, you know. So that's something we are talking about too.
It's very hard to self-analyze.
Right.
So
especially during a match when you feel the pressure, you sometimes you just don't get it. So it's always good to have a coach by your side.
So do you guys ever play races to five for the laundry, or do you just make him do it?
Well, we actually play a lot together because, of course, I can learn so much from him, like playing the right pattern and stuff. But we never play for like laundry or who's doing the dishwasher or whatever.
Because why would you? You just make him do it, right?
Right, exactly. No, of course, like percentage-wise, I can't beat him. I mean, it's even tough for Shane to beat him, right? Because, like, if you look at the stats, they played 11 matches. Joshua won 9. Shane won 2 matches. So how should I beat him? But when we play, it's not about win or lose. It's more about getting better and learn from it. So even if we play each other, what we do a lot, I get, like, a small handicap, for example, on the break, because his is obviously more stronger than mine. And that's, of course, something we work on too. But just to make it more competitive, he's giving me small handicaps. And, yeah, we just play. And if I have a question, whatever, I don't know about technical or what is the right shot to play here, I just ask him. It's not about win or lose. It's more about learn and improve.
Yeah. All right. So then the last question I'll have for you is more of a statement, I guess, but you can't do it on your own, right? You and Josh both have a lot of great sponsors behind you, helping you to be able to do all of this stuff. Why don't you take a couple seconds to talk about your sponsors and give them some shine for helping you guys out in your career?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for the opportunity. Of course, we have Predator Cues. We are with Predator Cues since our start of professional careers. So actually, I think since the end of 2016, and for us, it's just the best cues in the business. It's the best company for that. So we are really, really happy with our Predator equipment, and they're always helping us out. So we really love Predator. Thanks for always being with us. Then we have Gabriel's Tables. So they really make such great tables. They're going to have a new one coming out soon. So I'll keep everybody updated about that on our Killophilus pages. Then we have for Andy Cloth, which is an Asian company. They sponsored the World Games with their cloth, and we really like Andy Cloth. There are a lot of discussions about what is the best cloth. And for us, Andy really is, because with some cloth, you notice that if you practice like every day, that it's like getting old after a couple of weeks already, and it's not playing slippery or slidey anymore. And you don't have this problem with any cloth. So that's like, for us, it's the main difference. And that's why we love it so much. Even like after a couple of weeks or even a couple of months, it still plays like the equipment on a fresh tournament. So, and then big shout out to my sponsor, How Tips. I'm playing How Tips Soft on my Revo. You got it right there. Perfect.
They sponsor this podcast too.
Oh, I didn't know that. All right.
Yeah, I love Jenny. Jenny Lynn is just, she's so amazing. She's such a nice person.
Yeah, she really is. I mean, she's almost in the same age than me. So we got the really good connection to each other. And I just love my How Tip. And I mean, I can just say thank you to all our sponsors for supporting us in good and in bad times. We always stick together, and we really, really appreciate that.
Yep. And I guess with that, we can bring this interview to a close. I really appreciate you joining me today. And hopefully the next time we have an interview, it will be because I was correct in predicting that you are going to be a world champion in the next 3 years. And I get exclusive rights to the first interview. How's that?
Okay, you definitely get that. And I wanted to say,
boom,
we're back. All right. So what I wanted to say is that thank you to you for inviting me, for having this. And you will get the exclusive right to having the first interview with me if I win, for sure. I just wanted to say that I really appreciate what you do, especially for women's sport, because you're putting up women tournaments, trying to include the woman with the men, like in your last events, which I played myself, and I really enjoyed it. It was so much fun. And yeah, I just really appreciate what you do for the sports, because I think it's great, and together we can grow it a lot. So it was fun for me to be here with you today.
Oh, thank you so much. I am just trying I'm trying to ride this wave. You know, I think Matchroom is doing a lot of really big things in the industry, and I think it's moving forward, at least in the US. I mean, this is the first time I've seen this sport move forward in maybe 20, 25, 30 years, basically since the men were off of ESPN, off of TV. Yeah. And I don't think, I think we kind of just went on a nice little coasting down into a, you know, irrelevancy as a sport. And I see the sport turning around now. When you're watching the Whirlpool Masters and you see all of these discussions that are being had, and everybody's talking on the forums, Pool Is Not Dead, the Matchroom forum, you know, all of these other little forums, everybody's talking pool now. And I haven't seen that before. And, you know, if this sport is going to grow, Matchroom can't do it alone. We got to have some media people doing their part, and we got to have, you know, the magazines out there working, the forums people, we got to have all of the news outlets, you know, all of those social media influencers. We all got to band together and help this sport grow. So I'm happy to do it, and we can't do it without the players. We need them to participate. So we need you too, Pia.
Right. I think, yeah, we all need each other. And especially Matchroom, they are doing such a great job right now. They're putting more events. They just got back the world championship, which is just amazing, because I remember when I was a little kid, often watching like the Matchroom World Championships, and Joshua and me watch like all the old videos being uploaded to YouTube. So honestly, I told that to Emily as well, that on every event you come, you have this big arena and you are like, oh my God, that's the best arena you've ever been to. And then 1 week later, we're coming into the next arena at the World Masters. We walk in and honestly, no kidding, Joshua and me, we were flashed. We walked in and we was like, oh my God, what is going on here? Because they make it bigger, better, more modern. Like, they are not scared of changes, which I really love. Emily and her team, they really know what they want. And I think they are on a really, really good way to push our sport, same as they did it with darts or boxing or whatever. So we as the players, we can just be so happy to have them on board to grow our sport. And I think it's only get bigger and better in the future.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Pia, it's been an absolute pleasure. And I will let you get back to coaching Josh and tell him to stop missing balls.
Yeah, thank you. It was nice to be here with you. And of course, now I'm going back to practice.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I will let you go then. And thank you again for joining me. And until next time.
Until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for coming to my party. Now that we're all out to grow, it's time to go home. Hey everyone, thanks again for listening. If you've liked what you've heard and you want to contribute to the future content that will be made, consider joining the podcast's Patreon at www.patreon.com/queueitup. Becoming a Patreon of the podcast will help to create all of the future content that the podcast will have. Special shout out to Dave Peters, Aaron Taylor, Pete Silsby, Morgan Lupton, Ben Young, Robert Miller, Andy Morse, and Bill Pelham for your generous contributions to the podcast's Patreon. If you ever need any more information on what the Patreon system is or how you can contribute outside of the Patreon, please reach out to the podcast or Nate himself. If you would like to contribute to the podcast for free, consider sharing any podcasts or the podcast page on Facebook itself. Also, leaving a review and a rating if you listen through iTunes. It helps others find the podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back soon with another episode of the Cue It Up podcast.